This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu blinks it back!
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Into the area to Bernabeu! Oh, what a start!
What I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Let's rock and roll. Welcome to House of Champions. YouTube friends, dropping your comments and questions in that chat to make sure you hammer, and I mean hammer, the like and subscribe buttons. Now, today we're doing something a little bit different as we preview next week's Champions League semi-final matchup between Inter and AC Milan. Also sprinkle in a bit of Serie A action. Why? Because we welcome back Francesco Porzio to the show. Francesco, how are you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
Hello. Thanks again for inviting me.
And now we have a new addition. Is this your first time on the show, Gorilla?
I think it is. Yeah, I'm honored to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's great to have you with us. Great work this year across the Serie A coverage on Paramount Plus and now the Galazzo Network. It's great to have you. Boys, we're going to get straight into it because there's a lot to get into and discuss about Italian football. Francesco, I'll start with you and Napoli. Last week, we talked about this big celebration that was happening. Napoli, they pretty much took the whole day off. They moved the fixture so they could party harder and longer. And then what happened? They kind of messed up.
They have to wait again.
They got to wait. So now, do we have to wait one more time, or do you think we get it done this week?
I think today is the day. I mean, I think it's just a matter of hours and the big celebration can finally start. And they're going to last a lot of time. They're going to last the whole weekend for sure, the whole month, the whole summer probably in Naples. But the hot days will be the weekend probably. I had also the game against Fiorentina on Sunday, the home game against Fiorentina. But I don't want to say that again because we discussed that for the last week and didn't work well for Napoli fans, but I think today is the day. They just need 1 point against Udinese, so just to draw against Udinese and they will automatically be the new champions of Italy. So I think it's the time to celebrate for Napoli fans.
Hey, Gorilla, do you think the same? I mean, I want to understand here because I've been following you all the way throughout the season here. Not many people were predicting that Napoli would be in this position. Do you think they get the job done tonight? I also want to know from you, do you think the moment got the better of them at the weekend?
For the love of God, I hope they get the job done tonight so we don't have to come in an extra day, to be quite honest, because they're the champions. They played the best football. They deserve to win. But whether it's this, whether it's today, whether it's the weekend, it doesn't matter. It's theirs. I think now what I'm interested to see, and Francesco makes a good point, they're going to party for a month, maybe 2 months, maybe whatever it is. What I'm interested to see is what are the intentions of the club for the following season? Because when you look at all the greatest clubs in the world, whether it's the Man Uniteds, the Milans, the Juventuses, the Man Cities of the world, as soon as they win, it's like back to business, right? It's a party, it's a celebration, it's wow, a quick pat on the back, but then it's back to business. And so I know there's going to be a big party, but I want to see how fast and what kind of sort of intentions they have for the next season.
Also, we are talking about a team that started a new cycle this season. So if I were a Napoli fan or a Napoli director, I would be looking forward the next seasons as well, no? Because you can create a new cycle. They've got young players, talented players, with great potential. So I think there is a great basis to build on something good for the next season as well. So just not to celebrate for 1 year and that's it. They have the potential to start a new cycle for the club that can be amazing. Yeah. But let's see what we'll do with some key players.
You know how difficult it is to build a team, you know, like Ian, you've been in these situations where sometimes you have the most talented team in the world and for whatever reason you can't get results or it just doesn't click. And then there's other times where you just have that good mix in the locker room. It's a good mix of personalities. It's a good mix of different characteristics on and off the field and everything just works. And you can't lose those opportunities because when you have those guys in the locker room, you gotta make the best of it. And I think they have that now. So like Francesco says, I think it's an amazing opportunity for them to, yes, of course, win the Scudetto, first one in 33 years, but let's kick on. Let's see where they can go with this. You know, can they push further in the Champions League? Can they be still playing the beautiful football that we saw them play really the first 8 months of the season or 7 months of the season? Because we haven't seen it, Napoli, in the last 2 months. We haven't seen them really play like themselves.
Yeah, I think injuries obviously come into play there with the form that they've had. It's been a little disappointing to see injuries. But of course, when you play the same team consistently, you rotate just a little bit there at some point. And you know this, Grilla, as well. At some point, injuries, fatigue will catch up with you. And especially with this massive weight of pressure, you're now going into the later stages of the Champions League. You've got Serie A title right there almost in your grasp. You feel that pressure. Now, the question to both of you before we move on from Napoli here, I'll start with you, Francesco, here, and then Grilla follow up. Can Napoli keep a hold of their best players going forward? Both of you are saying this would be great to keep and be able to build upon. Can they do it again next season? Is it possible for a club like Napoli, and I know they spent a ton of money, Francesco, to get obviously Osimhen into the club, but can they keep their superstars at the club and build from here?
Financially speaking, the answer is yes. Napoli are probably among one of the few teams around that can sustain this kind of financial situation. So from that point of view, yes. The question is, if offer arrives, and probably they will, for the big players like Osimhen or Kvaratskhelia or Kvaratskhelia has a release clause, that's another topic. Are they willing to keep all of them? So that's the other question. And knowing the history of Napoli in the recent years, how the owner, Aurelio De Laurentiis, worked in the last years, they probably won't keep all of them. Maybe they will sell one, and then rebuild from with their money with other players. Let's see. I it's too early to say that now. Probably who is going to be the player leaving Napoli in the summer? Kim has a release clause, so that's probably the most likely. But let's see the others as well.
Yeah, I think it will be difficult for them to keep everybody. You know, as you say, and we know the owner had no problem last season getting rid of Fabian Ruiz, Koulibaly, Insigne, was a few others that I'm probably missing.
Mertens as well.
Mertens. I mean, Mertens was crazy one because I felt, you know, I didn't know exactly the numbers, but I felt like he was a guy for sure that you can use off the bench in the team. Yeah. He named his son Ciro, so he basically became Napolitano. And to lose those guys, and the owner had no remorse. He was just like, see ya. No problem. That scares me a little bit when you think of the likes of possibly losing an Osimhen or a Kvaratskhelia, because neither player was themselves without that duo. So Osimhen we saw last season was an incredible striker, but not what he was this season. I mean, this season was just ridiculous, and that's a product of the team. You know, I know everyone said, "Oh well, Osimhen he's going to come back against Milan, he's going to make the difference." No question about it, but it's a product of the team. The team was the strength this season. So if they lose Kvaratskhelia, Osimhen is not going to be as effective. Vice versa, if they lose Osimhen, as we got a sample size with Napoli against Milan when they played three times, we didn't have Osimhen in two of those games. Kvaratskhelia looked bang average. Bang average. Get the ball on the sideline, slow the game down, get doubled, pass backwards, or, you know, sort of hopeful crosses into the box that didn't lead to anything. So they need each other. So if they start playing around with key pieces, I could see how Napoli could slip very easily in a very competitive Serie A out of the top four again next season.
Wow, powerful point right there, Grilla. And I love to hear your opinion on Kvaratskhelia and how he performed without having Osimhen in the lineup there. And I also think that teams get used to watching how he plays. I mean, Kvara loves to pick up the ball on that left-hand side, loves to attack that fullback. But when you double up and sometimes triple up, it can put him out of the games at times, and you could see his confidence sometimes flowing when he didn't have that help around him. But I agree with both of you there. I mean, this is just a fabulous Napoli side, and at one point this season, the most entertaining team to watch in European football, without a shadow of a doubt. Let's get to the top four race right now. Obviously, we're going to get into the Milan clubs and what's happening in the Champions League semi-final. But right now, the race for top four is well and truly on. Yesterday's Milan result caught me by surprise, Grilla. I didn't understand this one from Milan. They made a lot of changes to the lineup here, obviously with focus of the Champions League, but missing out on top four is quite a big thing for not only Milan, but also Inter. And now Atalanta are back in the race in a big way.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Milan were the heavy favorites yesterday going into the day, minus 380, and the draw was plus 440. So it's basically no real chance of that happening. Milan in San Siro, yeah, they did rotate the team, but playing against a Cremonese side that only won one game away. So it was crazy that they were not able to get the result. And actually, up until the last 10 minutes, they almost lost that game. So crazy for Milan. But Lazio did get the points on the weekend, on the match day. But now it's obviously Milan-Lazio this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Roma, who lost the points, Inter, who getting them. Roma's going to get Inter this weekend. So it's going to be a chance for the teams that lost points in this top four battle to get them, not only get them this weekend, but take them away from their teams that they need to be taken away, teams that are just slightly ahead of them in Inter and Lazio.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there is Atalanta against Juventus on Sunday. So it's going to be a crazy, crazy weekend. Also, there is also Roma at 58 points. So we're talking about actually here how many clubs? One, two, three, four, six clubs for three spots. So that's crazy. I think looking at yesterday's game, what's clear that when right now the teams are looking too ahead to other fixtures, they're missing out something. Yesterday, AC Milan example is clear. The second lines of AC Milan this season are not at the level they need to be. I'm sad actually about De Ketelaer, because I had very, very good opinion about him, but this season has been really, really disappointing. Origi the same. So if you look at the second lines of the Rossoneri, they're not at the level they need to be. Also, if I were Stefano Pioli right now, I would put Leao in every single minute of the season. No, but he decided to rest him against Cremonese, which was, in my opinion, a very, very surprising decision. Let's see, because right now, Inzaghi yesterday was actually right when he said about it, that one day you think that Inter are like in the best position to be in the top four. The day after, maybe they lose against Roma, we think they're not even going to Europa League. So they're too close, the teams. It's difficult to have a final judgment, you know, about who is going to the top four, who is not going to the top four. We have to look day by day what's happening.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, Francesco. Here, I'll ask you this one, Francesco, once again about the top four. I mean, it would be disastrous for one of these clubs to miss out on the top four and therefore miss out on Champions League. You can't rely on winning the Champions League this year, obviously, because of what we're seeing in the competition. They could win it. They absolutely have every opportunity of winning it, but it would be a disaster for either AC Milan or Inter to miss out on Champions League football next season, right?
A total disaster, because for different reasons, probably. Financially speaking, right now, Inter are in a worse position than AC Milan. So if you just look at the financial position of the clubs, Inter needed more than AC Milan. Otherwise, they might sell some very good players in the summer, so they need to avoid that. While AC Milan, on the other side, first year under Pioli, they did a really, really good job. You know what happened with the crazy season and all of that. Then they managed to win the Scudetto the year after. This year, they are in the semifinals of the Champions League. So you see a progress in this team year by year. Not going to the Champions League would be a major step back in the project. I don't know if they can have also repercussions on Pioli's position. But also, if you think about Rafa Leao's future, he needs to extend his deal, who is due in the summer 2024 right now. So they need that. They need that to be at that level. Otherwise, they cannot sign more players. They cannot be as attractive as they are right now. So they need it.
There was a moment in yesterday's game when Liao, the Cremonese scored Okereke on a counter. Yeah. Kalulu tackles Chao, and Okereke is alone with the goalkeeper and scores. And they zoom in on Liao's face, and the look of disgust, the look of disappointment on his face. I think he had just come onto the game, at that point, and sort of like, oh, here we go. I gotta go and do it again. Because at the end of the day, and you know, I know we're gonna talk about this Champions League fixture coming up. At the end of the day, Milan, a lot of what they do depends on Liao. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I
think we lost you, Gorilla.
I can't go on to this point, maybe.
Go ahead, Francesco.
Help me out, but it's true. I totally agree with him because if you look at the results of the past 3 months, the moment where AC Milan were not performing well is when Leao didn't score, didn't assist anything to anyone.
Yeah.
So when he was not performing well, AC Milan were not scoring points. And when Leao was performing at his best this season, look at the Champions League quarterfinals against Napoli, probably the best games of AC Milan during the whole season. I was helping you, Mike. I think that was...
He jumped in right there for you, Mike Gorilla. And it says, yeah, obviously you're having some technical difficulties. But listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we do return, we're going to try and fix Mike Gorilla's microphone and his sound so he can hear us and we can move on. How's the Champions? You're listening to Stick Right With Us. We're turning our attention to the Champions League semi-final next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you're a US-based fan of the beautiful game, Paramount Plus is an absolute must-have subscription, from Serie A to Champions League to NWSL and so much more in between. Not sure if it's for you? Then you can try 1 month for free by using the code Europe. Welcome back, everyone, to House of Champions. It's Ian Joy. We also have, of course, Mike Grell, who can't hear us at this moment in time. He's having a few technical difficulties. And then Francesco Porzio, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us, Francesco. Let's obviously turn our attention to the Champions League semi-final. Having a Milan derby is just such a special thing. But I guess I want to know from you, you know, how important is this derby within Italian football? We see it worldwide. There is historic photographs around the world. But this derby within Italy, and there are many great derbies in Italy itself, but how important is this derby specifically?
It's hugely important because we are talking about the Milan derby is very particular compared to the others. You would expect to see, you know, crazy fans reactions like it might happen somewhere else. AC Milan or Inter Milan fans, they go to the stadium together. They're all friends together, actually. They go out together. It's not like that kind of rivalry when you don't necessarily stay with them all the time. You know, they are friends all the time.
But then these weeks, trust me, they don't speak to each other. They're not going to speak to each other as much. It's going to be very quiet if they go to dinner together. They avoid to talk about football. They avoid to talk about the semifinal. But the importance for the city and for the Italian football is incredibly high, because nobody was expecting to see an Italian derby in the semifinals of the Champions League this season. Nobody was expecting that. But to see that kind of game, while on the other side of the bracket, you have Real Madrid against Manchester City, in my opinion, probably the real final of this Champions League, no? You see a kind of different mood on the other side, but that's the essence of the Champions League, in my opinion. The Milan derby, I know I'm biased, but that's the essence of the Champions League. That's the kind of football games you want to see in the Champions League.
I agree with you, Francesco, because you're going into this derby game and you don't know who's going to win. You have no idea. There isn't a clear favorite here. You can't say this club is in a better position than this club. They're both fighting for top four in their domestic league. But when it comes to a Champions League where, as you mentioned previously, and Guerrilla also mentioned, nobody expected them to be here. Now they're at a tie where we get to see two wonderful games. We have no idea what's going to happen. They do have talented players in their squad. We obviously saw a fabulous performance from Inter yesterday, which was pretty spectacular. So clearly, confidence is key going into these big games. But there are some superstars who could really step up. But I also look at the Italian teams, of course, with Inter and AC in the semifinal. It's not just about the superstars scoring goals. It's also about how difficult they are to beat. Inter in particular, I mean, what they did against the Portuguese teams, Francesco, was really special. And I would expect them to go into this semi-final and be very difficult to beat against AC Milan. You think the same?
I think the same. I think they both won. Forget about the last 5 minutes of the game against Benfica, because I think that was already knew they were going through. So it was a different mood. They both went through with their defense against Napoli and against Benfica. Thanks to the incredible job they did with the defensive systems, worked out perfectly. And so, to be honest, if I have to predict something, I don't expect two games with a lot of goals between Inter and AC Milan this time.
Right, right.
Also because of the tension there is in there. Remember, last time it happened was two draws with two goals, both in the second legs. So I don't see a spectacular game with incredible goals or like a 3-3 or a 5-3. I don't know. I don't expect that kind of games. But the atmosphere, the tension, that kind of vibes will be incredible. And I totally agree with you also the fact that I was saying that before, that Inzaghi said that yesterday after the game against Verona, if you think about Inter today, maybe you think they're the favorite. But maybe they lose against Roma on Saturday and AC wins against Lazio. And I trust me, it's going to be the opposite. They're going to say, no, AC Milan are the favorite ones. And that's clear. That's a clear signal that there is no favorite here. It's 50.0050 and 0.00 again, because there is no favorite in this kind of game.
I love to hear that, though. And that's the type of game that I look forward to tuning into watching, because you just really have no idea who's going to win over two ties. Now, as far as derby goes, you know, we have witnessed some great derbies, great rivalries throughout the year, throughout our lifetime and history in general. And when I grew up in Scotland. We had Celtic versus Rangers. It was a rivalry where it was a pretty dangerous rivalry in the city. You didn't really want to be wearing green or blue in a certain area of the city. Like for media, for people, for fans, for fan clubs, when you have the ultras, like what's that build up like to a semi-final match like this? Is it different from what you would witness in a Serie A game?
For sure, there will be much more tension, much more, as I said before, tension between the fans, but not like tension like somewhere else. The Milan derby is different from the others. It's not like the one you mentioned between Celtic or Rangers, or if you think about Italian derbies, the Roma-Lazio one probably is the most iconic one, no? Mm-hmm. With a lot of violent episodes that happened in the recent years. It's a good thing. I'm not saying that it's a negative thing, actually. It's a very positive thing. The Milan derby, we don't have episodes of violence since the 80s. Then the ultras decided to have a sort of pact, and they're not having any sort of violent conduct between them. So that's a very good thing. And then, as I said before, it's a different game, because it's a city where there is the rivalry, but it's not like a rivalry like in other places that you don't have friends that are AC Milan fans or the opposite. So it's a bit different, but it's very tense actually. It's not a way to say that it's less tense than other places. The atmosphere will be incredible, and compared to the Serie A games, I don't remember other stadiums in the world that you have this kind of atmosphere for two semifinals in the same place. It's like having Boca River in the same Bombonera or the Monumental, you know what I mean? They're both in the same place, in the same stadium, just the opposite curvas are going to be full of Inter or AC Milan fans in both games, because all the other part of the stadium will be completely full of mixture fans. They're trying to avoid it, to be honest. They're trying to, you know, selling tickets to only season ticket holders to their own game for one team and the other one doing the same. They're trying their best, but it will be also stadiums won't be full Inter or full AC Milan when they play at home.
I've got a great comment from Ed, who's just jumped in the chat right here. It's absolutely brilliant. He said, "This might be the most understated Milan derby in my lifetime. I really don't see this getting the level of coverage I think it should." Do you agree with that? That not many people, and I mean, I guess you do. You've already pretty much said it. Everyone's focusing on what's happening on the other side of the bracket. You have Real Madrid, a giant. You have Manchester City, who are not a European giant, but trying to become a European giant, who are the favorites in this competition. Nobody's really talking about the Milan derby in the other side of the bracket. Does that piss you off?
It pisses me off a bit, yes, of course, because it's my Italian pride here that gets touched. You know? So... But luckily, we are going to have two games in two different days. So people can focus on one game one day and then watch the other one the other day. I think it's normal because we are talking about Manchester City and Real Madrid, one of the two of the best teams around, and nobody was expecting to have Inter AC Milan in the semifinals. So it's normal. But trust me, if you are not that familiar with Italian football, you're not familiar with Inter AC Milan, the atmosphere at the stadium will be iconic, will be something different from any other stadiums in the world. And also to the younger generations that might watching us, this is not going to be a stadium that will last forever, because this is a stadium that won't be there in a few years. So it's a great opportunity to see something that probably you will not have other possibilities in the future to see it at this level of the competition. So it's something unprecedented. I mean, precedented because it happened 20 years ago, but it happened 20 years ago and that's it. So it's a good opportunity to see a different thing and maybe something that won't happen again in the future.
Let's welcome Mike Grella back into the show here. Mike, similar to like you did on the field when you were playing there, we had to substitute you back in after some technical difficulties. How are you, buddy? Can we hear you okay?
All good, man. Yeah, all good. Sorry about that. So, yeah, it's actually a shame. That stadium, there's something magical about it. I was there a week and a half ago, and it was, you know, you just look at the place, and it's sort of all the history that's happened there and the way it looks, it's just one of the most magical stadiums in the world. And it's a shame, you know, when I hadn't visited before last year, I think the first time was a couple of years ago, I said, "Oh, the stadium's 100 years old. How can they still play with the same stadium?" You know, but when you visit it, you feel something different, you know, as a lover of football, as someone who's lucky enough to play the game, you just feel something different there, and the history and the culture of the place. It's a shame that they will eventually get rid of it, but it's going to be magical. And yeah, of course, there's Real Madrid and Manchester City on the other side of the bracket, but nobody wants to play Italian teams, as anybody who follow football in the history of football knows that the Italian teams maybe not always the most talented bunch, but always figure out a way to become very difficult to beat.
Hey, Gorilla, before we go to break, Francesco was just pointing out there that he's pissed off like I am, and I'm sure you are as well, that not many people are speaking about this side of the bracket here. Not many people are given the respect that these two teams deserve for the way they got to this stage in the competition. One of them will be in the final, and then we will probably start seeing the media pay more attention to the Italian clubs. How do you feel about it? Because are you happy with them sort of just quietly going about their business, taking care of the semifinal? Or do you think people should be speaking about this side of the bracket a bit more?
Oh, definitely. I think maybe I'm the opposite in that respect to Francesco. I understand what Francesco's saying, but I also think that the reality of the situation is Real Madrid, with what they've done in the Champions League, with Ancelotti and what he's done in his career. You look at Manchester City, you look at Haaland, what he's doing, you look at Pep, what he's doing. I think it's difficult to make a comparison that the Italian teams are at the same level. Can they beat them in a one-off match in a final? It's possible. Do I totally understand that those two teams are at a different level right now in this moment? Yes. If we're talking about Milan from 20 years ago, or, you know, the golden age of Milan, then of course, then you couldn't talk about Manchester City at that time with Milan. But things change in football. I think the Italian teams are on the way up. So I understand why they're not getting a lot of coverage. But as an Italian fan, I'm very happy with everyone being very quiet about it, and us sneaking into the semifinals now, two teams, and into the final. And the only reason why Napoli got knocked out was because an Italian team had to knock them out.
Yeah, that's a great point right there. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we do come back, we're going to get deep dive into what we expect, where the key matchups are going to be, and also get predictions from the boys. Stick around.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to House of Champions. Francesco, Mike, and Ian Joy here with you. We are discussing the semi-final matchup between the two Milan clubs. Let's get into it. Francesco, let's begin with the key battles. And this is a game where key areas of the field is where this tie will essentially be won or lost. We recognize the superstars that are on display, maybe not the names that we have had in the past for both of these two big clubs, but key battles on the pitch. Where do you think this game could be won or lost?
I think the midfield, because it's the strongest part of both teams, probably in a way, in the recent weeks as well, especially Bennacer's new way of playing under Pioli in the last month, especially after the international break when he started to play as a sort of number 10, but in a defensive way more of. He's going to play in the area of Çalhanoğlu. So that will be the key area, I think, between the two teams, where Bennacer is playing, Çalhanoğlu, and also Mkhitaryan. These are going to be, this triangle will be the most interesting one. And then, of course, we have the matchup between Leao and Darmian, probably playing on the right of the Inter defense. That will be key. For Inter, I'm a bit worried about Dumfries, because Dumfries is also playing that position. So Dumfries, defensively speaking, was good in the Champions League against Benfica, but is not at the level of Darmian in that position. So would be interesting to see if they can cope that together.
Mike?
Yeah, I think when you look at a lot of the metrics in the Serie A and the big sample size that we have with Inter and Milan, last season Inter was the favorite to go and win. Last season, the Serie A, they won the Coppa Italia. They won the Supercoppa Italiana. They won the Supercoppa Italiana this year. They're in the Coppa Italia final against Fiorentina. They're in the semifinal. They're a tournament team, is the point that I'm trying to make. They're very difficult to beat. And when you look at the metrics, shot totals in the Serie A this season, Inter way ahead, 544 to 464. And you look at the XG, which I'm not a massive fan of, But the separation is unbelievable. 59.2 for Inter, only 48.8 for Milan. So that the gap is there. When you look at how many crossed attempts that Inter have, that putting dangerous balls in the box to the big strikers, Lukaku, Dzeko, Martinez, who's on fire, 23 goals in all competitions, 800 crosses. This is before the game yesterday, but 800 crosses, Milan only 550. So when you look at a couple of these metrics, you think, okay, Inter's better than them in a lot. And Francesco makes a fantastic point. The two strong points of the team are probably in the midfield. They both have very good midfields. But if you look at the midfield of Inter, it's slightly stronger. And the one thing that's interesting that Inter doesn't do that Milan does a lot of is a stat we call take-on attempts. And Milan has many more take-on attempts. They're first in take-on attempts that lead to a shot, and Inter are last. So that tells you a little bit of something. And when now you think of the word take-on attempts, you think of one guy. You think of Leao. And you have images of him. And Napoli, I'm sure, have nightmares of him going past one, two, three guys, picking up the ball in his own end and going, you know, 60, 50 yards with the ball, becoming unstoppable, becoming elite footballer. So I think that Leao is the key also to the game. How can Inter stop Leao? How can they make sure that even when he doesn't have the ball, or even when Inter has the ball in possession, that they keep Leao under wraps? Because if you're 5 yards away from him, it's not good enough. The second that he gets turned, it's a problem. So you have to have at least one player that's always mindful of where Leao is to either foul or to make sure that he doesn't get turned and get some sort of, you know, pace going forward. Napoli did it. Terrible job at that. They sort of said, we're going to play our football and, you know, Leao, you know, we'll play our football, let them adjust. And they didn't adjust to the main factor that the MVP of last season, Leao, they didn't adjust and he hurt them.
Francesco, also, I'm going to get to, go ahead, please.
No, I was wanted to add that I expect Inter to keep more the ball than AC Milan. So that's the key probably about what you were saying. How can you keep the ball and avoid that Leao's counter-attacks, because that's going to be the key in both legs, I'm sure. And then talking about Inter, probably Inter arrived at the moment in the best conditions on a physical point of view than before. I see Inter yesterday against Verona, they were impressive, but also against Lazio, they performed really well. So I think Inter are in a good status. I don't know if AC Milan are kind of thinking too much about the semifinals, so they are keeping their strengths and their good things for the semifinals. We don't know that yet, but it's gonna be incredibly tense. That's for sure.
I think the key to the match, though, it's definitely possession. But for me, when I was we were lucky enough to go to the second leg to watch Napoli Milan in Diego Armando Maradona Stadium. And I remember watching that game and saying, Milan are most dangerous when Napoli has the ball. And so Inter will have possession, I think, and more control of the game. But that is when Milan are the most dangerous. Milan's sort of MO in the Champions League was defend, be compact, stay in these, and then go quick with Diaz and Leao. Yeah. So they're happy not to have the ball, and they're happy to hit on the counter. So that's when Inter has to be the most careful, is when they have the ball and there's a lot of space behind the back line.
All right, I'm putting you both on the spot here. Francesco, we'll start with you. Obviously, we can talk about expected lineups here. I'd rather go for a combined starting 11 from you. If you were to mix these two clubs together, the best starting 11 here, I mean, there are so many stars that could be on display here. What would be your combined 11 if you're looking at it?
I start. Okay. I don't have to go back and see the name. Okay, we have. I started with Maignan, to be honest, because I think he's the best, one of the top three, four goalkeepers in Europe. So with all due respect, with Onana, which I really like, to be honest, but there is no competition here, in my opinion. Then if we go to the defense, actually I'm gonna switch to Hernandez on the left and Darmian on the right. I went with a 4-3-3, you know, to be more compact, let's say, and to try to find a way between the 3-5-2 of Inter and the 4-2-3-1 of AC Milan.
So I see, for example, Theo Hernandez being one of the best fullbacks we have in Serie A, so I have to put him in. And Darmian, I really like him. I think he's a very underrated player that, defensively speaking, has been crucial this season for Inter. He's coping the absence of Milan Skriniar. So yeah. I think that we have to remember that. Milan Skriniar was one of the best, if not the best, Inter defender. He's not playing since January, basically. So we're talking about an incredible player, and Darmian basically make us forget about Skriniar. So we have to consider that. Then for the center backs, I opted for one for AC and one for Inter. So I went for Tomori and Bastoni. I think they are the two more complete ones. Also, Bastoni is a very good player when it comes to start an action, maybe a counter attack with a long ball to the midfield or to Lautaro or Lukaku. And Tomori, I really like him, so I really rate him as a very good defender. So I put him in. The most difficult one, let me say, was the midfielders, because I had to put out Tonali, which was really, really difficult, because I wanted to put Mkhitaryan in. I think Mkhitaryan has been the best player this season for Inter, by far. He's been crucial for Inter. He is one of the probably the player that played most minutes between the midfielders, if I'm not mistaken. He started basically all the games in the last year, so it was fundamental for Inzaghi, especially because both Çalhanoğlu and Brozovic had some injuries, so Mkhitaryan was always there. So I had decided to put Mkhitaryan instead of Tonali, and then for me, Çalhanoğlu and Barella are the two key players for Inter, so they have to be in the top 11. Bennacer, crucial player for AC Milan, already said that before. He's going to be key player also in the semifinals because he's going to play in the same position of Çalhanoğlu. So it's going to be super, super important, his role in the semifinal, both legs. And then Leao, I mean, how can I explain that? Leao has to be there, of course, in the top 11. Leao has to be in the top 11. And between Lautaro, Lukaku, and Giroud, I opted for Lautaro because I think he's the best one of the top of the three.
Not great in the Champions League, though. I will say that, though. If you look at his statistics over
last... But he scored the goal against Barcelona, and we wouldn't speak about Inter here if it wasn't for that goal. So, one, but good one.
All right, let's get into it, Grella, here. This is your combined 11 to compare with that one. Not too far away.
Very similar. So, key point I want to make. Darmian, very underrated player. He's not a player that you're going to watch in moving forward here, and you're going to say, wow, he's incredible. But he does a lot of the simple things right, and I think he embodies what the team is. He's difficult to go around. He's responsible. You know what you're going to get week in and week out. He was benched for Dumfries. Still great attitude when he's asked, when he's called upon. And I think he's done a fantastic job. So that's number one. The rest of our back line is the same. Bastoni, Tomori, Theo Hernandez. Theo Hernandez, for me, the best left back in Europe at the moment. One of the best in the top three for sure. When you look at the midfield, where it was very difficult for me, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, I think, are staples in this combined 11. They're the two players with the most talent that can sort of give you things that are different, unlock defenses. They can give you box-to-box tackling. Tonali and Bennacer was a difficult one for me, but I went with Tonali just because I think he's done really well in the last 2 years in terms of really figuring out what he brings to the table, and that's picking up first balls, second balls, and giving it to other guys. Just very physical player. And then in the front was Leao and Lautaro Martinez. Martinez with the goal total of 23 throughout the season in all competitions. It's hard to leave someone like that on the bench. Leao speaks for himself. And then I was stuck between Mkhitaryan and Diaz. And I went with Diaz just because I think that last season he was not so great, but this season he made the difference in all the games against Napoli, where he was able to turn and sort of start the counterattacks. And he always, whether he's playing well or whether he's playing poorly, always brings the correct attitude. Unlike what you know CDK that we mentioned earlier, so he always brings the right application to the game. So this is the 11 I have. I didn't mention Manyan, but he's also a staple for me in this combined 11.
Love it. I love to see both of that.
You see, it's 50-50 here. I mean, we didn't speak before, me and Mike, but we basically opted for the same 11. Yeah, there is Tonali and Diaz. I put in Bennacer and Mkhitaryan. But at the end of the day, we are talking about the same structure of the team. So as you can see, it's unpredictable what can happen in the semifinals.
Love to see that. Listen, great commitment from both of you right there. But we did that on purpose, Francesco, so that you wouldn't communicate and try to play this game a little bit. Okay. We did it on purpose. We wanted to see where your minds were taking you. Boys, this has been fantastic. I'm going to get to some of the comments because there's a lot of love for both of you out there. Vic saying Francesco is back, our Serie A expert. Applause to you for coming back as well. Grella and Francesco from Rafa Cardenas. Appreciate the love right there. Rafa jumping in and saying, just don't see them sustaining the form this season. Enjoy it while it lasts. That is to Napoli fans right there. They're going to be partying for the next months there, right there, Rafa. Come on, give me a break. Mir Safet Rahman Abir jumping in. I'm just hoping as an AC Milan fan that we can get a top four finish in the league as Rafa Leao's contract seems to be on hold for that particular reason. By the way, we're going to win our eighth Champions League title. Francesco, I think you were talking about that Rafa Leao contract being such an important one. Musto jumping in and saying, Inter will win the derby. What happens if UEFA ban Juve from European competitions next season? Does it go to the club behind them in the competition? Francesco, come to you on that one there. What happens if Juve do end up losing their points right now?
I was hoping to avoid Juventus questions for this time, but seems it's impossible. But I think, yeah, we'll go the technically will be the fifth in the table to go to the Champions League in that case. But as I said many times, we have to wait and see what happens, because if the Champions League semifinals are unpredictable, don't talk about Italian justice system. So that's going to be even more unpredictable.
Ali A jumping in and saying AC Milan Champions League heritage right there. Seven times winners against three times winners. Vic jumping in and saying too much at stake for both of these teams. Roma can capitalize on a situation to leap into the top four, surely. Inter will line up with the Milan derby in mind. Great to see that one right there. Nice one here for you saying, Mike, what a great recovery. Welcome back to the show after your technical difficulties right there. Vic appreciated your absence and then your reappearance. We love to see that one. And Ed saying, I don't think there are any more flares in stock in the city. The San Siro will be lit up for this tie. And I think that's a perfect way to finish. Boys, this has been awesome. I think we should do this more often. Obviously, getting the opportunity to talk about Italian football is a joy for me. Followed Milan since the old Ruud Gullit days. And yes, that tells you how old I was. And it was obviously George Weah who took it on. And then, of course, on and on and on, the Champions League success grew. But it's great to have the opportunity to speak to great Italian minds. Grella, continue to do the fantastic work you're doing on Paramount Plus and the Galazza Network. I love watching your transition from the field into being a businessman, but now on to television as well. It is quite remarkable. And at some point, your story needs to be told, and I'm going to be the one who tells it. Francesco, enjoy the week. I know you're going to have a great weekend. You might party along with Napoli fans. You'll be enjoying the weekend with the crazy games, the top four finish, and of course, the Champions League to look forward to. There's so much to look forward to, Italian fans out there. Big thank you to everybody out there for listening to House of Champions. Take a minute to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Also available as video, so subscribe to us on YouTube. Grella, are you going to come back on the show?
I'd love to anytime. It was a lot of fun. Francesco, thanks. You know, that was great. Ian, thanks again for the shout out. But yeah, honored to be here. Thanks, man.
Francesco, final word from you. What are you doing this weekend? Where are you going? Which games are you watching?
All of them, actually, because I have to work for but yeah, I'm looking forward to the three Champions League ones. So Inter, Roma Inter on Saturday, Milan Lazio on Saturday as well. And Atalanta Juventus on Sunday are going to be all great. And Napoli Fiorentina, because there will be the big celebrations there finally. So another one to watch.
They'll still be drunk by the time they get to the field on that day. Boys, I appreciate you. Thanks to everybody out there for the comments as well and jumping in the show. The regulars are there, but the new ones as well. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening and watching House of Champions. We'll see you next time.
To normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.